Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, What's It Mean That God Is Jehovah Tsedekenu?
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been talking about the names of God in the Bible. And today, let's look at this fantastic name, one of my absolute favorites of them all, Jehovah Tsedekenu. That's kind of an interesting name, Tsedekenu. Kind of almost hard to pronounce, but it is marvelous. It's one of my favorite names in all of Scripture about our God. And what does it mean? Jehovah, you already know that one. That's God's name, I am, Jehovah. And Tsedekenu means our righteousness. Tsedek is the first part of the word that is means righteous or righteousness. And nu is the part added on to the end of a Hebrew word. In this case, it means our. So God's name is Jehovah, our righteousness. This is going to be absolutely marvelous, and I'm excited to share it with you today. This name actually occurs only in Jeremiah, although the principle is everywhere. In Jeremiah 23, verse 7, and also Jeremiah 33, verse 16. So let's talk about Jehovah Tsedekenu and what we learn about God and about ourselves by means of that name. Number one, if He is Jehovah Tsedekenu, Jehovah our righteousness, that means, number one, that He Himself is righteous. Because how is He going to be our righteousness unless He Himself is righteous? And let's just remember this today. How righteous is Jehovah our God? We tend to think in human terms when we think of righteousness. We think of our heroes on the cowboy movies who maybe had some faults, maybe cussed a little, but they were generally on the side of the right. They were on the side of good and they beat out the bad guy. But that's not the righteousness that we're talking about when it comes to God. One where He's on the side of the right, but He has some faults and He's mostly a good guy. When it comes to God, He is 100% perfect, pure righteousness. It's almost like in trying to grasp it as Christians, we can get a feel and we know He's righteous, but it's almost like we hold a glass of water and recognize that it's pure, but then we compare that to all the fathomless columns of the sea around the world, and His righteousness is like that, so much more than we can even grasp or have the capabilities of comprehending. But let's remember today, His righteousness, Jehovah Tsedekenu, means, first of all, that God, Jehovah, is righteous. Remember in the Bible, Moses says this of our God. He says, the rock, His way is perfect, and all His ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and right is He. Amen? Amen. 100% pure righteousness. Look over at Psalm 89. This is great too, where we read in verse 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of thy throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before thee. That's our God, Jehovah. Righteousness and justice are what His whole throne is built upon. He is 100% pure righteousness. Remember, Jesus said, no one is good but God alone. He is the only perfect one that there is, actually. And 1 John 1, verse 5, John the Apostle says, this is the message that we've heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. But just picture that. 100% perfect, pure light is Jehovah our God. So Jehovah Tsedekenu, Jehovah our righteousness, means, number one, that God is righteous. And so high, more than we can even grasp fully. His ways are above the earth, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Number two, though, that brings us to a little bit of a problem. That Jehovah is perfectly pure righteous. The problem for us and the trouble is we're not. We are not righteous. We fall short. We read over here in Psalm 15. Let's turn there. It says, this is, I believe, David's psalm. Yep. O Lord, who shall sojourn in thy tent, and who shall stand dwell on thy holy hill? In other words, who's going to go up to heaven? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth from his heart, etc. But you got to be perfect in that. You got to be without sin and perfect to go to heaven. You got to be perfect in your own righteousness. Problem is, we all fall far short of that. Look at Job. This is I love this verse in Job 25. Verse 4 to 6 says, how then can a man be righteous before God? How can he who is born of a woman be clean? Behold, even the moon is not bright, and the stars are not clean in his sight. How much less man who is a maggot, and the son of man who is a worm? And over here in Job chapter 4, even in his servants God puts no trust, and his angels he charges with error. How much more those who dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, who are crushed before the moth. So we've got a big problem, friends. What is God like? God is like this pure, perfect white t-shirt. Absolutely spotless. Pure, 100% righteousness is Jehovah. The trouble, of course, being that this is us, black, blackened by sin, totally unacceptable to God. What do we read in the scriptures? Surely there's not a man on earth who is righteous at all times and does right and does not sin. We also read in the scriptures that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are not righteous. That leads to a big problem, of course, and great trouble for us. For Jesus says, I'm going away. And where I'm going, you cannot come. You will die in your sin. It's not easy to go to heaven. God cannot and will not abide with any sin in his presence, for he himself is perfectly righteous. You're not going to mix these two with God. And so if you're going to go to heaven, you need perfect righteousness, perfectly spotless and pure like himself. So that leads to a big problem for us, friends. That's the bad news. That's point number two. Point number three, though, let's get to the good news. What is it? His name is Jehovah Tzedeknu, which means, again, Jehovah, not just that he's righteous, but Jehovah, our righteousness. Say that out loud. Our righteousness. That is an amazing word about God. He gives us this name in Jeremiah chapter 22. Let's turn there. Now, after God has spoken against his people for many chapters of doom and gloom and destruction to come on account of their evil, for they were doing wickedness before God, and God was coming to judge them, and it seems like the storm clouds have so surrounded them, lightning is to strike, and there's going to be no hope. God sends a ray of sunshine down through those dark clouds from heaven to shine upon his people this promise. Let's read it now. God says, behold, the days are coming, says Jehovah, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. He shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, Jehovah Tzedeknu. The Lord, our righteousness. Or, the Lord is our righteousness. Isn't that marvelous? This is a great promise of God to us, of hope. When we have no hope on account of our sin, we need his salvation. And so, what do we see here? What is this a promise about? You tell me. You can't tell me. You're on your couches. Well, I'll tell you. It's about the Christ. Because we read here once again that, let's turn there again to Jeremiah 23. Let's read and see how this points us to Jesus Christ. For the days are coming, says the Lord. In other words, it's in the future, centuries to come after Jeremiah, and Jesus came centuries after Jeremiah. God says, I will raise up for David a righteous branch. So this is going to be God's work. He's going to send, raise up out of the stock, the seed, the blood of David, a descendant. Christ was born a descendant of David in his line. He was his direct descendant. A righteous branch. Notice, it's a righteous branch. This is not a Messiah who is righteous in our eyes, but in God's eyes, a perfectly pure, white, 100% righteous branch God will raise up for us. He shall reign as king. So we're expecting a king. Doesn't that sound, by the way, like Palm Sunday, where Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, righteous and having salvation as he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey? That's our king. He comes bringing salvation. He shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. There's that word again, righteousness. That's what we're after. Jesus comes to bring it. In his days, at that time, in other words, Judah will be saved. The word there for saved is Yeshua, which is Jesus' name even in Hebrew. He comes to save his people. And Israel will dwell securely. In other words, enemies will be destroyed. God's people will be safe. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Jehovah Zedeknu is the Messiah's name. So let's talk about how amazing that name is for us. Not only is Jehovah righteous, and we're not righteous, but what do we just hear there? He is Jehovah our righteousness. Does that not sound strange to you and weird and crazy? How can somebody else be our or my righteousness? I mean, shouldn't my righteousness be my righteousness? Well, here, he, somebody else, is our or my righteousness. In other words, this is us, full of darkness and sin. This is God, full of perfection and beauty. And somehow God says, I'm going to take this off of you. I'm going to give you what I got of my own. In other words, what we see in this name is that God promised and planned of old, watch this, a great exchange, a great switch, a great swap, if you will, where God says, I see, my children, the shirt upon you, upon your back and upon your front, it is black, marked by sin. This will not be acceptable to me. And if you wear that and come into my presence, you will die. I see that you're wearing that, my children. But I am wearing this one, perfect, pure righteousness. Now, if I were to come in my justice, I will destroy you for wearing this. But I love you. I want to save you. I want to give you life. I don't delight in your death. So here's what I'm going to do. I will take the shirt off of your back, and I'll place it upon my own. And I'll take the shirt off of my back and place it upon you. In other words, a switch, an exchange, a swap. God's going to take our sin and give us his righteousness. Jehovah Zedeknu means Jehovah is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. Is that really true? Is that what the Bible says? You better believe it. What do we read here in the Old Testament, for example, in Isaiah chapter 53? It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And then what? The Lord, Jehovah, has laid upon him, that's the Messiah, the Christ, the iniquity of us all. He has laid upon the Messiah, somebody else, all of our sin, laid it upon him. And as John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Somebody else takes your shirt. And then he gives us his shirt, righteousness. Because what do we read here in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5? God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. For our sake, God, he made him, the Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. Think about those words. He made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we who have sin might become the righteousness of God. It's so clear. He is Jehovah Zedeknu, Jehovah our righteousness. And this is how he comes to save us, by giving us, if you will, his shirt off his own back, his own righteousness to cover us as a garment, that we might be acceptable, that we might be saved, that we might ascend his holy hill and dwell in his holy tent, because now we have what we need. What was keeping us from him is gone, sin. What we needed to come into his presence, righteousness, is given to us as a free gift received by faith. True? Let's take a look. Open up. Romans chapter 5. Love this verse. You hear it a lot, and you're going to hear it again. This is fantastic. Romans 5, verse 17 says this. If because of one man's trespass, Adam's, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. What is the free gift again? Righteousness coming through Jesus Christ. And what does it say? We covered with this will reign, rule, be kings ourselves with him in the world to come. As he says, sit with me on my throne, we'll rule over the new world together. So what is the result of God being Jehovah Zedeknu, Jehovah our righteousness? Number one, you're justified and saved through faith in his name. Number two, he sanctifies you. Not only are you covered in his righteousness, but now he starts to work his righteousness in you and make you more like himself by the day. That's sanctification. Number three, watch this one. This is so important. We're going to open up to Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32, verse 17 says, and the effect, say effect, that means result, the effect of righteousness will be peace. And the quietness and trust forever. My people will abide in peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, in quiet resting places. So I'm going to ask you a question. You believing on Jesus Christ, do you have peace in your heart? Do you have confidence, assurance before him? Are you resting in quiet resting places and holy habitations? Or are you all stirred up and, oh no, I never have any peace? You know what the problem is if you don't have any peace? Remember his name, Jehovah, our righteousness. What are you looking at if you don't have peace? Your own righteousness. Think about it. God may have saved you, but you're still not perfect yet in your own righteousness. You're justified, but you're not perfect. If you look, pay attention, at your own righteousness, and that is now your basis and your focal point where you're fixing your gaze, you're going to be ever afraid, nervous, anxious, feel dread, have no rest and no quietness. Because this, you know, is not enough. It falls short of his glory. So long as your mind is fixed on your own righteousness, that's a recipe for disaster. You will be depressed and hopeless throughout your life. You know it well. But what my counsel to you, if that's the case, is this. Remember his name. His name is not Jehovah your righteousness. I mean, it's Jehovah our righteousness. It's not Jehovah his righteousness, but Jehovah our righteousness. He gives you his gift of righteousness. What I want you to do is not focus on your own righteousness, although we need to look at it occasionally. If we sin, repent, right? Grow in righteousness, but don't focus on this one. Focus on God's righteousness. Because when you focus on his righteousness, you will not be found wanting. His righteousness is perfect. It is a delight to us. You will never find a flaw or a fault in Jehovah's righteousness. And when you let that be your focus, well, what do we read? Thou dost keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. God doesn't say God will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on your own righteousness. No, that's disaster. Let it be on his righteousness, because that's his name. Jehovah Zedeknu means Jehovah, our righteousness. The righteousness he gives you as a gift. Focus on his righteousness, and you'll not only have peace, but also you're going to be changed to be more righteous anyway, as you look at that. For we will all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. Isn't that beautiful? He is awesome. And God has promised today, at the very end of time, in the book of Isaiah, he says, by myself I've sworn, every knee shall bow to me, says the Lord, and every tongue confess, I'm Lord, that is, Jesus is Lord. And he says, at that time, only in the Lord it shall be said of me, our righteousness and strength. To him shall come and be ashamed all who are incensed against him. But in him all the offspring of Israel shall triumph and glory. We're going to triumph in glory because he's given us the salvation, friends. Rejoice in his name today. Let's rejoice in this. We'll conclude with this. Isaiah chapter 61 says, I greatly rejoice in the Lord. I exult in my God because he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Jehovah Zedeknu, Jehovah our righteousness. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, What's It Mean That God Is Jehovah Zedeknu? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are normally at 10 a.m. on Sundays when this virus season has passed, and worship Bible study is normally at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. So we encourage you to continue listening online until our website shows we're open again. We'd love to have you. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, please go to our website at christlutheranchurch.capecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Can an ancient prophecy help us live a more confident and fulfilling spiritual life here and now? Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah explains why the answer is yes. Because we serve a God who not only keeps his promises, but they are fulfilled exactly as he said they would be. From the handwriting on the wall, here's David to introduce more from his message, The 70 Weeks of Daniel.
And thank you for joining us for the Monday edition of Turning Point. You've joined us in the midst of a very intricate discussion on the book of Daniel. And we're in the 9th chapter of Daniel, which is, it's one of those sections of the Word of God where a lot of truth is packaged together, condensed in format, and yet overwhelmingly important because it has worldwide and universal impact. Today, we're going to take another look at the 70 weeks of Daniel. Here is what Daniel saw. This is what God gave him. This is the revelation he received. He received it metaphorically, but it is very wonderfully explained throughout the rest of the scripture. And we'll get to it in just a moment as we turn once again to the 9th chapter of Daniel, verses 20 through 27. If you're following along in your Bible and in your study guides, we're in Volume 3, the final study guide for the book of Daniel. And we'd like you to know that you can get these study guides from Turning Point. All you have to do is go to our website, which is davidjeremiah.org, and there you will find all the information that you need to order the study guides, the CD packages, other Daniel information that we have gathered for you. And you have all of this available to you online, or you can get it from Turning Point. I hope you will do it today. Use it to direct a Bible study. Use it for your own personal benefit. But whatever you do, don't let this series on Daniel go by without getting the resources you need to keep fresh and study this book going forward. I'll tell you about our resource for the month at the end of today's program, but right now, let's get started again with the 70 weeks of Daniel.
Which of the four decrees fills the prophecy that we have read? Obviously, the decree of Artaxerxes given to us in Nehemiah chapter 2. Now, Dr. Alva McLean, who's written a very beautiful